Welcome to Real Estate and You. I'm your host, Scott Allison. I've got Don Casero with us. He's going to talk to us about how to save our lawns from this heat and this bad weather, give some hints to try to save a little money and keep your lawn good. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to Real Estate and You. Don, and I said your last name correctly, didn't I?
Yes, sir.
And your last name gets butchered, buddy.
Yes, I know.
In fact, I had a guy I was talking about. He was going to take care of some house deals for you, and he said, Don, what? And in Kasaka, I said, are you talking about Don Casero? Oh, yeah. So anyway, let's talk about something. In fact, the 4th of July, how nice was that little rain?
That was wonderful. I think some people around town got up to 4/10, almost a half inch of rain.
Quick.
In that short amount of time, it was a good shower, unexpected, and we sure needed it. It was wonderful.
I'll tell you one thing, I was kind of proud. We had a little 4th at the house, and Don was there and we're watching, and people were kind of talking about you like a king of landscape, man. I was kind of proud you were there, and I guess you got a lot of questions asked because people are literally scared to death about losing their whole yards right now because
yes.
of the weather. Help us out. What can we do?
Yeah, people ask me all the time, whether they be people I run into or my own customers or clients or whatever, you know, how are we going to get through? And we face this every summer. It is still West Texas. It always will be. It's going to be hot and dry. How do we get through the dog days of summer without losing any, you know, our grass, our turf grass, our trees and shrubs and perennials and such? And we know that we have a limited amount of water. We have rules that are in place from our city that governs when and how often and how much we can water. So we have to be smart about the way we water. Most of the turf grasses that you find around this part of the country are already acclimated to our weather. We don't have winter, you know, we don't have Kentucky bluegrass down here because we can't support that with our limited rainfall. So we have a lot of Bermuda, Zoysia, St. Augustine, some fescue. That grass is all fairly drought tolerant and will tolerate periods of drought and extreme heat. The couple of tricks are you don't have to water the grass often, but you have to water the grass deep. You have to try to put an inch of water on the lawn per week. And people ask me, well, how do I know when there's an inch of water on the lawn? People, you know, my customers will say, well, it's brown. I don't understand. And I'll look at their sprinkler timer, and they've got the thing set for 15 minutes. Well, if you set a pie plate, and here's what I'll tell them. Give me a pie plate, old tin, and I'll set it in your lawn and turn the sprinklers on to let it run for 15 minutes and then go pick up that tin and see how much water's in there. There's just a trace. It's just not enough water in there. It's, you know, so you really need to put an inch of water down on the lawn, which means you have to put more time on your irrigation timers. That can bring in other problems into play. If you water too long, you can never overwater the grass. That's not going to happen. But if your yard is not flat, if you have slopes, you can run the water off of the yard into the street, which will result in you getting a call or a letter from the city about wasted water. So you have to kind of find a balance between getting enough water on the lawn to keep the lawn healthy and not putting so much water on that, A, your water bill's out of control, and B, that you're running water down the street. So for some people, if your yard is nice and flat and you don't have a lot of runoff, you can turn the timer up to 30 or 40 minutes and really give it a good soak. If you have a lawn that has a grade to it that grades towards the street and you're prone to running water into the street, you would then water in 15-minute rotations. And then by the time you got, like if you watered your front yard at 15 minutes, then it worked its way all the way around to the side and the back and so on, by the time your water came back to the front, it would be soaked in enough where you could hit it again for another 15
or maybe
or
even
20
just some additional hand watering.
Yeah, I mean, that's too? It's time consuming. People do it all the time. You know, you're not going to get much help from Mother Nature this time of year. We know that. You need to use fertilizer properly. It helps. And, another thing I see, and it's not a big problem, but I always tell people, it kind of bothers me when we get a good rain. Every time we get a good rain, invariably, the next morning I'll be driving around town going to a job and I'll see somebody's sprinklers on, you know, after a 1-inch rain. When it rains, turn your sprinklers off. You don't need, if it's a significant amount of rain, if it's an inch of rain, which happens, I've seen a 3-inch rain and I've seen, you know, flooding all over the town and my neighbor's running his sprinklers. It doesn't make any sense. When it rains, if you don't have a rain sensor, and a lot of people do, most don't, if you don't have a rain sensor, go out and turn your sprinklers off and leave them off for a few days. You don't need to turn around and water with your sprinklers after it's rained. It's a waste of water. Your yard doesn't need it. Save your money, save our water.
Makes sense. And now there's another thing. The grass length.
Yes.
Higher. I've noticed that in all the yards around my house and that you do in the different ones.
Yes.
What's the theory behind that?
The taller you mow the grass, and I didn't make this up. I've studied this and I've read this. The taller the grass is, the longer the roots. The roots of the grass are equivalent or they're as deep in the yard as the grass is tall. If your grass is 3 1/4 inches tall, for example, your roots probably go down about that low, that far into the ground. And that's where, you know, of course, the roots are the ones that are taking up the water to feed the plant, the grass plant. So I like to mow tall in the summertime, especially depending on what kind of grass you have. Now, you go to the golf course and you know, they mow at, 5/16 of an inch or something on those fairways, and the greens are even shorter. They have to do that because you can't hit a golf ball out of 3 1/2 inch grass.
Well, I can't hit a golf ball on any grass. It doesn't really matter.
And I have to hit it out of 3 1/2 inch grass all the time because I'm not in the fairway. But, you know, ideally, and they can get away with that. They have special equipment. They have special watering procedures. They can do that. For us as homeowners, I like to keep the grass nice and tall. Especially if you have St. Augustine. A lot of people are still planting and maintaining St. Augustine grass. St. Augustine grass absolutely must be cut extra high, really high. I'm talking 3 1/2, 4 inches. And people say, well, I don't want my grass that tall. You can't afford to cut it shorter than that. The grass doesn't like it. It uses too much water. You really have to do that. Then when it gets cool, if you want to take it down a notch incrementally as you go, you can do that. You can also mow a little shorter in the spring because what you're doing there, talking March and April, you can go ahead and mow short. You won't hurt anything because it's never going to be that hot in March or April. And what you're doing is you're taking off that dead grass and allowing the new grass to pop up. But during the dog days, June, July, and August, and this year it's been May, June, July, and it's going to be August, you really need to mow high. Your grass will be happier and healthier, and you'll use less water.
And what's the theory about bagging the grass versus not having a bagger?
When you bag the grass and you pick up the clippings into a bag, the most obvious thing is it looks more manicured. You don't have the grass clippings laying on the ground. There is a school of thought, and I've read this a bunch of places. You could Google this. It's easy to find. There is a school of thought that when you mulch the grass, which is not to bag it, or if you just leave, in other words, you leave the grass clippings on the yard, there are nutrients in that grass that you've cut. Even though the grass is still there and it's no longer alive because it's not attached to the soil anymore, there's nitrogen, there's other nutrients in that grass that will continue to feed the grass as it waters and as it decomposes. So there is a school of thought, and there are a lot of people who do not think it's necessary to bag. They like to side discharge the grass, shoot it out of the or mulch it because it refeeds. Remember, every grass blade that you cut still has fertilizer in that blade, so it's decomposing, it's breaking down, and it's refeeding the lawn.